the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Father, we come to You in Jesus' name. Lord, we just ask You to add Your blessing, Lord, and Your presence to this message today. I need You, Lord. I just want to be the mouthpiece this morning, Father, to proclaim what You've laid on my heart. Speak to us today. May we have hearing ears. May we have receptive hearts. And Lord, today there may be someone here that is lost. Touch their hearts today. There may be someone here that is sick, Lord. Touch them today with a message, Lord. May they be encouraged today. And Lord, I pray if there's weak that they'll be strengthened, Father. You know every need today. Speak to us, I pray, in the next few minutes. And Lord, may we apply this, God. Let us not just hear it, but let us apply it to our lives and practice it. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, I want to really take my text from, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I want to preach on the idea of suffering today. My message is going to be titled, Suffering, the Safeguard, and the Surety. Now, I preached last week from the latter part of Romans chapter 8, and I trust that in the sovereignty of God, I maybe shouldn't have switched them. But I think maybe God wanted us to realize that we're conquerors through Him, no matter what, before we got to this part of this passage of Scripture. You know, suffering is a deep well. The idea and even speak about suffering is a big task to undertake. And I know that I could not in one sermon answer questions about it, maybe that you have, or you know, maybe really just scratch this. Probably in a lifetime of sermons, I probably wouldn't be able to answer all the questions that we may have about this experience of suffering. I think that sometimes people use suffering as a wedge against God or a tool against even the idea that there is a God. You know, people will say, well, if there is a God, why is there suffering in this world? If there's a God, why do children suffer? If there's a God, why is my loved one suffering? And I don't know. And you know, suffering is a two-edged sword too, I believe, because I think sometimes suffering can actually drive people away from God. Maybe suffering in others can drive people away from God because they begin to question God. But you know, I also know this, that the same experience in suffering, while it may drive some away from God, it will also draw others near to God. You believe that? I do. So I don't have all the answers, but I know biblically that in this passage of Scripture, Paul gives us some meat about the idea of suffering that we can look at today and really, I think, take something away from it. So I, you know, there's two things I do know. I do know that there is a God in heaven. Amen? I remember that passage in Daniel when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream and nobody else could interpret the dream that he had. And Daniel not only got the dream, but the interpretation to it as well. And when he went back to Nebuchadnezzar, they started to lift him up and he said, oh no, he said, there is a God in heaven. And He is the one that has revealed this for us to know what's going on. There is a God in heaven. That I know for sure. And the second thing that I know for sure is that in this life, we may suffer. Now, I want to look at this idea, and I'm going to focus on suffering for just a few minutes here in the first part of this message, because here's the first truth that I want you to understand, that we live in a world that is fallen. And that sounds like one of them God answers. You know, that sounds like one of those pat answers. Well, you know, why is there suffering? Well, you know, it's the curse of sin. It seems too easy to throw that out there. But the fact of the matter is, we live in a world that is fallen. This world is under a curse. Verse 22 says, "For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now." Everything that we can see with our eyes is decaying. Amen? Everything that we see, listen, everything we can lay our eyes on, but the Bible tells us, is temporary. The things that we cannot see, those are the things that are eternal. Decay and death rules in this world in which we live. Listen, grass withers, flowers fade, trees rot, metals rust, houses crumble, people pass. And that's just the way the world is. It's hard to grasp the idea that when you're in the prime of life and you're strong and it feels like you're bulletproof, that one day you too will suffer in suffering and suffer the aging process. And I've called it this many times, the bulges and bifocals and bunions and you know, those things that we all, baldness, some of you have to deal with. I got another one, bad hearing. I couldn't hear Barb speaking, but the younger people behind me could. So these things, you know, we have to deal with these things. These things come upon us, and if we live long enough, we are going to experience these things decay. And again, it's hard to understand, you know, when you're young and confident, and it seems like, you know, everything is going to go your way, that you could have to suffer in this life. Disease, decay, death are part of this life. Can you shout yet? Listen, we can. I think you will by the time I get to the end of this. Yeah, here's what I thought. No wonder Jesus would tell us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, "Lay not up treasures on this earth where rust can corrupt it and thieves can break through and steal it, but rather lay treasures up in heaven, because those treasures that are laid up on the other side of glory, let me tell you, listen, they'll be there when we get there. All of this that we can see in this life is going to pass away. People are going to suffer. Folks are going to get old. Things are going to crumble. But bless God, we've got a hope in Him. We are going to suffer because we live in a fallen world. Suffering can be brought on in our lives. People can make bad choices in life. And because of those choices that they've made in life, it will bring suffering in the future. I remember a visit that I had years ago, it's been years ago, I was visiting a lady who had, she had a diseased heart and she was in bad shape. And she had smoked for 50 years. Now, would she not have had that disease had she not smoked? Chances are she may not have had. And I remember her, you know, telling me in one voice she said to me, in one breath she said, "Preacher," she said, "don't ever start smoking." You know, at that time I was a younger preacher. And I said, "Sis, I don't plan on it. I really don't." And then just a few minutes later, she said, "Why has God allowed this to come into my life?" And of course, I didn't say anything, you know, to that. I tried to comfort her. But, you know, sometimes decisions we make now are going to determine whether we suffer in the future. Amen? Listen, you know, I was thinking about recently, many of you, if you're a sports fan, you know that Tony Gwynn died recently. And, you know, I was a fan of Tony Gwynn's, and he was one of the best hitters that I ever seen hit. I mean, he could just hit anywhere, anytime he could hit. And he died from cancer, and he was, I believe he was 54. That's how old I am. And I was reading the story about Tony Gwynn, and he died from cancer in his saliva glands. And you know what he attributed his contracting that disease to? Smokeless tobacco. Now, I'm not here to pound on people that use smokeless tobacco or smoke or anything. I'm just telling you. You know, alcohol. If you drink alcohol and you get behind the wheel of an automobile inebriated and you wreck and you kill someone else or you kill yourself, let me tell you something. That is not God's will for you to go out like that. But listen to me. Choices you make now can affect where you're going to spend eternity, absolutely, and whether or not you suffer or even go out prematurely. Listen, I want to tell you, God is sovereign, but you and I have the free will to make choices, and those choices will determine much of what happens in the future. You believe that? Oh, I'm telling you, it's true. Listen, you know, not long ago, it was all over the news, the heroin, the bad product, they called it, on the streets, and how, you know, these people were buying heroin and they were dying. And that's sad. I mean, I don't want to see people go out in a turn like that. But listen, the choice they made to stick a needle in their arm with an illegal substance that absolutely will addict you in a moment's time, that took many out into eternity prematurely because they made a bad choice. Listen, you need to see God today. You need to let God lead you. And I want to tell you, now listen, don't make bad choices. But you know, at the same time, suffering can be completely random. Right? Bob Hope one time received, you know, he was always doing the USO shows for the troops and that, and they gave him an award one time, and he come up to accept the award, and he said, you know, being the comedian that he is, he said, thank you. He said, I don't deserve this award, but I got arthritis, and I don't deserve that either. And, yeah, I read that as an illustration. I was looking for some illustrations, and I read that, and I thought, you know, there's a lot of people that get sick that we would say they don't deserve to be sick. But really, I mean, you know, when we see children suffering and we see innocent, we would say they don't deserve to be sick. And that is true. They don't deserve it. There's people all the time that, you know, may get lung cancer and they've never put a cigarette to their mouth. People get other diseases that, you know, no fault of their own. I was thinking of not long ago. You guys remember that young girl that got that flesh-eating bacteria from a creek that she fell? Remember that? Her name was Amy Copeland in Georgia. And she was zip lining with her friends in the Tallapoosa River, and the zip line broke, and she fell into the creek, and she cut her leg open, and it required 22 staples to close it up. Well, they thought that was it, you know, end of story. You cut your leg, you go get it put back together. They give you some antibiotics and send you home. That wasn't the end of it. 3 days later, still in pain, she went to the emergency room, and the doctors determined she had necrotizing fasciitis caused by the flesh-eating bacteria. She lost her left leg, her other foot, and both hands had to be amputated. Just having fun with her friends. Zip line breaks. She falls into the creek. And this is where it led to. We would say she didn't deserve to have that, right? I mean, we would all say, boy, you know, that's just... But let me tell you something. It's not about whether we deserve it or not. Okay? It's about living life, and every one of us live with that possibility every day of our lives, right? Amen. I remember listening to a man who had terminal cancer, and I've used this before, but I want to tell it again. I use it every now and then, and they were interviewing him, and he said, you know, it's something. He says some people will come to me, and he knew he was going to die. And he said, people ask me, how does it feel to know that you're going to die? And he said, I don't know. You tell me. Isn't that true? Every one of us, every day of our lives, live with the possibility that we can be taken out into eternity. Our heart is beating. And it could stop. aneurysm, whatever. I mean, I'm not here to depress you. I'm here to just focus on the first part of this message, suffering. Now, in this, I'm probably depressing you, right? But I'm going to pick you up here in a minute, I promise. Now, in this passage, now notice it says in verse 17 that if we suffer with him, that means suffering with Christ. You know, there's suffering because of choices, suffering randomly. You know, things, accidents happen. Living life sometimes can bring things into your life that just happened. And it seems to no purpose. But in this passage now, he's talking about suffering with Christ. He's talking to a persecuted church. And if you think about somebody that didn't deserve to suffer, think about Jesus. Think about the Son of God who left the portals of glory, came into this world and did nothing but good and had nothing but good intentions, but because of sin and at the hands of sinners was beaten and his beard plucked and he was nailed to a tree and all of these terrible things happened to him. Why? Listen, because he did it for you and I, but he himself did not deserve to suffer. Now, these believers here, Paul is writing to believers who are being persecuted because of their faith in Christ. Now, you and I, you know, we can suffer. We don't really suffer, you know, like stoning or things like that because we're Christians, but we can overtly suffer because we're Christians. Have you been there? Have you been shunned by maybe your family because you don't agree with what they do? Have you been overlooked because in a promotion in your job because you don't sort of toe the line, because you don't carouse and go to the places they want you to go to get that promotion? There are many overt ways that God's people can be persecuted. Not so much the way they were being killed at, but people today, listen, we can suffer for our faith in Christ. There's physical sufferings, emotional sufferings. You know, I was thinking about in emotional sufferings. You know, sometimes you suffer as a parent. Amen? Bill Cosby said, children are great for you in your old age, and they help to put you there faster. Right? You know, when your child is sick, you suffer. When your child is lost, you suffer. When your child is in a dangerous situation, you suffer. Listen, my wife and I have been there. I've experienced it and I've seen it. Parents can suffer because your children are, you know, not where they ought to be. There's mental suffering. And you know, C.H. Spurgeon, one of the men who considered the greatest preachers of all time, suffered from depression. And it could hit anybody. That, you know what I'm saying? Good people suffer, right? Who suffers? Good people. Saved people. God's people. Job suffered. Apostle Paul suffered. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us a record in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Listen to this. He says, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, except what? 39 stripes. He says, 3 times I was beaten with a rod. Once I was stoned. 3 times shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, perils by heathen, perils in city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. Man, there was always something going on to make him suffer. Physical suffering. Then he says this, emotional suffering, in weariness, in painful watchings, hunger, thirst, fastings, and the care of all the churches that has been laid on me. He suffered emotionally. He had some problems. And he suffered physically. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8 and 9, he talks about how there was he had a thorn in the flesh. Paul suffered it all. Good people suffer. I mean, that's just the way it is. If we had a record of all of the people that were on Unity Free Will Baptist Church roll that have gone out and suffered some, it would be a long roll. Bad people suffer. Atheist people suffer. White people, black people, brown people suffer. People who are well known, people you've never heard of, suffer. They go through things in this life. We live in a fallen world, and there is suffering. So here's the question. I've established the fact that there's suffering. Maybe overboard. But there is suffering. So here's the question. Someone will say, Why doesn't God just do a miracle and cure it? Why doesn't He just, Trish stood up and gave a wonderful, I'm glad you did that because that really goes with, she talked about how the doctors were perplexed. And listen, sometimes God does do miracles. And people look at the Bible and they'll say, but God did so many miracles miracle after miracle. Listen, folks, if you look at the time lapse, how much time there is and the miracles did not happen every week. They were few and far between. Jesus was here for 3 years, yes, and in those 3 years He performed many miracles with a reason to validate and to prove that He was and is the Son of God. But listen, if God did miracles every week, they wouldn't be called miracles. They'd be called, regulars or something. They're called miracles because miracles are truly, done sporadically by God. God is able. God is able. We have testimony. We heard it this morning. Doctors didn't know what to do. Listen, but sometimes God in all of His sovereignty and all of His power is able to reach down. And I've heard it. Testimony time and time again. God moved and He did a God thing. And I was healed and He picked me up. He is able today to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or even think. To Him be glory. God is able, but God does not. Listen to me. The Bible tells us that He takes care of the sparrows, right? That means when one of them falls, the Bible says God knows about it, but He doesn't stop the sparrow from falling. It falls. He knows about it, but He doesn't stop it from falling. It falls. But I'm glad that every now and then, God will do a miracle. So here's another question. Is there some purpose in suffering? Could there possibly be a reason for people to go through what they're going through? Well, I think biblically that we can answer that yes. I was thinking about this. And my daughter Angie can relate to this one. I was thinking about how, I should ask your permission to use you on that illustration. I was thinking about how, you join a gym. And if you haven't done it in a while, you join this gym or you join this exercise class. And you start doing the exercises. And what happens when you start moving them muscles and running, and doing all this? You wake up the next day and you're like this. Oh. Sorry, Angie. She joined exercise class. But there's a reason that you get like that. You're going through all those movements and stuff that your body isn't used to, but there's pain in it. And guess what? In that pain, there is going to be some what? Some gain. There's purpose in the pain. C.S. Lewis said, God speaks to us in our conscience and in our pleasures. He whispers, but in our pain, He shouts to a deaf ear to wake them up. And that is so true. Pain gets people's attention. There was a purpose in Job's suffering. You read the story of Job and you you realize that God was allowing Job. And from our perspective, we read that and we go, why? What? Come on. But God looks at things from a different perspective. He has the perspective of all of eternity. You and I are looking at 60, 70, 80 years if God blesses us. And we want those years to be filled with good health and prosperity and happiness when God is more concerned with the eternity that follows those years. And it's hard. It's hard for us to grasp that. But there is purpose in pain. Let me tell you that story. Remember I just read to you about Paul's sufferings in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, all those things he went through. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I read this Wednesday night, and I didn't even have this message really Wednesday night. God laid it on my heart Thursday. But I thought this fit because in 2 Corinthians 12, the first 4 or 5 verses, Paul talks about how, write this down. Write this down and read this. Because he talks about in the first few verses of 2 Corinthians 12, he says, I knew a man who was caught up into the third heavens. And he said, he was shown things that weren't allowed to be uttered. Man, I mean, he's seen the glory. I mean, he's seen so much. And he talks about how it would be very easy to glory in that experience and to brag about that experience. But he says, I will not. And then in like verse 5, it says this. He said, and the man he's talking about is himself. Paul was lifted up. But then he says this. Then there was given to me a messenger of Satan to buffet me. And I was given a thorn in the flesh, lest I be exalted. Paul plainly says, this thing, this sickness, this problem came in my life, lest I get too exalted in what God has, you know, shown me and done for me. There was a purpose in Paul's suffering, and it was to humble him, to keep him in a place where God can use him. Have you ever, maybe you've experienced it, maybe you've been in a hospital, and during your stay in the hospital, you know, God sends a lost nurse, a lost, you know, roommate, somebody in your room, and you realize that you're in this situation for a reason. God is using you to speak to somebody else's heart. Remember, God's more interested in eternity than this little bit of time here. And so God in our pain, God in our suffering, God when we're going through these things, He can use us, and there is a purpose in it. Tozier, he's a great, A.W. Tozier, I like his writings. He wrote one time about, he said, the hammer and the nail. He said, you know, we look at a hammer and we think it's a great tool. You know, we love the hammer. He said, but from the nail's perspective, he has another view of it. Right? The nail doesn't like the hammer that much because that hammer shows up randomly. He picks, and the hammer just starts hitting on the head of that nail to drive whatever nail he thinks. But here's what the nail doesn't understand. That the hammer is nothing more than a tool in the hand of the master. And he is calling which nail and what nail and how hard that nail should be hit. You see, our pain sometimes we don't understand. But know this. That pain can be used in our life. Suffering can be used in our life to bring glory to God and to clear out anything in our own lives that God doesn't want there. That's how gold is purified through fire. All right, that's the suffering part. Let me move on. I'm going to be short on the next 2 points, I promise. But please don't start fading on me. I'm serious. You need to hear this. Because, you see, there is suffering. We've established that. It can be random. It can be because of choices. It can be physical, mental, good people, bad people. It doesn't matter. We're all in this fallen world and pain comes. But here's what I want you to get. The second thing, and it's in verses 14 through 16. This is the safeguard. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. A safeguard, not from suffering, but a safeguard in the suffering. That when suffering comes in our lives, we know that when we get there, God is already there. That we are the children of God. And when we are the children of God, listen, we may be rocked to and fro. We may have storms and we may have trials. But bless God, we know when He's on board, He can say, peace be still to the storm. We know that He has that ability to do that. We are the sons of God. Listen, with those that are lost have condemnation in their life. But you and I, in verse 15, says, we have the spirit of adoption. We are in God's family. And that will carry us through whatever this life throws our way. And I want you to understand something, that because you get sick, or because we get sick, or because we have trials, it doesn't mean that the devil's out to get you. It doesn't necessarily, it could be, But it doesn't mean that the devil is attacking you because you got a sickness in your life. Doesn't mean there's sin in your life. Doesn't mean you're not where God would have you to be. It means you, because of the fallen world we live in, are going through this trial. That's what it means. But what counteracts that, the safeguard against it, is to be a child of God. That's the greatest standing of all. I don't care what you achieve in life. I don't care how talented you are in life. I don't care how big your bank account is. I don't care how fancy your car is. I don't care how big your house is. I don't care how much land you own. I don't care how many degrees you have behind your name. Let me tell you, the greatest achievement this life has to offer is to be able to say, His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. That's what I want more than anything. I'm a child of God. You see, that's the safeguard. That ensures that you and I will be able to get through this. Do you have? I'm going to wind down now. Do you have this assurance? Do you have it? Do you have that Holy Spirit bearing witness in your life? Listen, it's okay if sickness comes and that drives you to the Lord. Perhaps that was the purpose. Sometimes people won't look up until they're laying on their back. It's true. Maybe that could be the purpose. But what I'm saying to you right now is, don't wait. Don't wait. All right, the suffering, we know it's coming. The safeguard, not from it, but in it, is to be a child of God. My verse and text, verse 18 of Romans 8. Now, I'm going to close with this, but I could preach on this for a while, but I have to be sensitive to the children in back and more so to the teachers in back. Notice now, and this is a mathematical term for I reckon, I'm adding up. Paul was a hillbilly. I reckon that the sufferings of this life are not to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Amen. Right? Amen. I reckon it. That's a mathematical term in the Greek. It means Paul has done the math. Paul has weighed it out. Jesus said it like this in Luke chapter 14, verse 28. He said, if you're going to build a tower, what man wouldn't sit down first and count the cost? Amen. Do the math. Yes, suffering is going to come. Yes, problems are going to come. The safeguard is be a child of God. But the surety is this. Hear me now. The surety is this. That I reckon, I've done the math, that one day this life is going to pass away. But bless God, we've got a place on the other side where there'll be no more pain, be no more parting, be no more sorrow, be no more tears. Hallelujah, we'll be walking on streets of gold when we get there. I reckon that this stuff we go through down here will be worth it all to be able to go to heaven. I reckon that much. Amen. I know it's true. So I've done the math. I've counted the cost. And I may have to suffer down here, but thank God I know I've got a better place to go to. Do the math today. Do the math. I was reminded this morning, I thought about Carrie Strug, I think her name was. I wrote it down. Let me make sure. Carrie Strug. In the night, remember in the Olympics, the 96 Olympics, Carrie Strug, the women's team had never won the Olympic gold medal as a team before. And we were ahead going into the final round. And we, you know, they thought they had it nailed down, but the Russians were doing real good, and Dominique Dawes and that Mokinow girl, they didn't do very well on the vault, and it come down to where it was pretty close, and they were worried about losing the gold medal. And so the last one up was Carrie Strug, and she's standing there, and she takes off and does her somersault and flip and all that gyration in the air, and she lands, and she said, I heard a snap. And when she landed, she snapped two tendons in her ankle. And she was in severe pain, went down. She got a low score, and they were, man, you know, we're going to lose the gold medal now. And so they got her over to the sidelines, and Bella Carolla, I think his name was, that big old guy that defected, he was their coach. And she said, he put his arm on my shoulder and said, "Carrie, you got to do this again, or we're going to lose the gold medal." And she was sitting there with ice on it, and she said, "I knew there was going to be pain. I knew it was going to be tough. But I knew what waited after the pain, if I could pull it off." And so she lined up and she ran down that ramp one more time on that hurting ankle. She hit that vault and did her all them gyrations in the air, and she stuck that land. And she said, "When I hit, then I heard another snap." But she held on. And she put her foot up and she did this with one foot in the air. She stuck that landing and she was able to stand on the podium with her teammates to receive the gold medal. Pain may come, but listen to me now. I reckon that the pain we go through down here is not even going to be remembered when we get there. To get that gold medal of hearing Jesus say, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many." He goes on. I'm not going to go ahead. He goes on, talks a little bit about what we get in the verses 20, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. I'm going to tell you something. Serving the Lord now is the greatest achievement that you can make in this life. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be a preacher. Doesn't mean you're going to achieve some, you know, status in the church. But it does mean this, that you're a child of God. Amen. And that's the most important thing. Let's get a song. Suffering. It happens. We have pain in this life. It comes. The safeguard in it is that we are children of God. The surety is that this little bit of time down here is nothing to be compared with what we're going to receive on the other side. Now I want to ask you, I want to make it personal to you right now. Now listen, do you have that assurance? What if something would come in your life and would render you unable? I can't believe there's anybody in here today that is even a little bit unsure about their status with the Lord. That is, if you're right with God. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? I find it hard to believe that there's anybody sitting here that can hear me today that doesn't intend at some point to get right with God. Let me ask you this. If you leave here today and something happens to you physically or by no fault of your own, whatever, and you are rendered incapable of having the thought process to ask Jesus to come into your life, are you going to be ready to meet Him? This is serious. This is not a game. Man, I'm telling you the word. I'm telling you the truth today. And being a good person is all right. And we all should be Christians. But listen, being a saved person is better. It ain't going to do folks a bit of good to be the best person they can be and go to hell, because hell ain't going to care if you're a good person or a bad person. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, "Preacher, that don't sound right." It don't matter what it sounds like to you. That's what the Bible says. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know Jesus? Don't wait, because you don't have a promise of tomorrow. None of us do. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, thank you for your love, for the Word of God, for the truth of it. And Lord, sometimes it can be like a cold towel, slap us in the face. But I'm glad, Lord, there's always the promise. There's always hope that you give. There's a safeguard in suffering to know you. There's a surety at the end of the road of suffering to have a place prepared for us and those that know Jesus. Oh, speak to hearts today, Lord. Father, I pray that if there's one here that cannot say that they're ready to meet you, oh God, today, speak to them, Lord, right now. in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Lord, too, that there's some here that are going through suffering. There's some whose family is going through suffering. Lord, would you strengthen them today? Would you give them just a fresh hold of grace today, Lord? God, just to hold on a little bit longer, Lord. I know, God, that there's weeping in the night, but joy's coming in the morning, Lord. Strengthen those folks, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.